Well, that was quite an uplifting song. And our first reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. And this is a continuation of Pastor Mike's thing on Romans, except he's hitting you with two verses today, so be prepared. For each of us has one body, as with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, the many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Here ends the reading. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. Just as in a body the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. Where was I? Okay. And we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even though the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, I would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body seem to be weaker or indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Here ends the second lesson. And now for the main act.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Jesus speaking. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Here in the reading, you may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church? You're free to go at this time. There we go. Don't be shy. Good to see you. Lord, we thank you for your word, the way that it teaches us, guides us, corrects us, and that you're always there for us through it. Amen. God's word. Yeah, where would we be without this? If we didn't have this Bible, wow. We'd be in trouble, yeah. You know, thankfully, this got written down, parts of it, you know, the Old Testament thousands of years ago and the New Testament a little bit later on. Well, yeah, if we didn't have this, and we'd still have God's presence. He'd still be present with us. We'd be able to feel that presence. He would guide us through his presence. But to have this available to us written down is just incredible. I guess for many years or even centuries, people didn't have access to this, right? You think about the time before Martin Luther. People were dependent on the priests in the Catholic Church to tell them what was in here along with their interpretation of it. Some people tried to translate it into English, like William Tyndale, got burned at the stake as a result. You know, respect, huh? Yeah. And then Martin Luther successfully into German and then later on. And now we are honored to have this. And hopefully it's not just sitting on a shelf. This is the Word of God. This is something that we should be in every day, that should be guiding us, that we should just be seeking Him in it and learning from it. So make sure you're doing your daily reading, folks. It's God speaking to us. And how incredible. And how often do we take that for granted? Well, I just never really thought of this. It just sort of started flowing here. And okay, yeah, I got my attention, God. And help me not to take it for granted. Help me take advantage of it and to seek you through it and hear you through it. Alrighty. So Romans 12 is what we've been working through one verse at a time, like Tim said. Today, two verses because they complete one sentence there, and it would be incomplete with just the first half of it. But speaking about the body of Christ, and if you've accepted Jesus, repented, and turned to Him, you are a part of the body of Christ. And if you have not, you're welcome to be a part of the body, okay? This body can accept new parts. It's not complete, all right? God's wants everybody to repent, right? It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if any of you out there or also online, or who knows, maybe someone watching you online that I don't even know you, or maybe years from now, I have no idea, this is on YouTube after all. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, there is a place for you, a place where you can be valued and accepted and forgiven and set free. He cares for you, and He wants you to be a part of that body. All right, so Paul writing to the Romans, and he's trying to form them into one body as well. This was an interesting group of believers in Rome. A number of them were Jews. So they're coming from the Old Testament and the Jewish understanding, and a lot of them are Gentiles. And he's trying to mold them into one. The Jews all their lives have been raised not to associate with Gentiles. They're no longer Jews now. They are followers of Christ, the people to whom he's writing. And he's writing, of course, to the Gentiles as well, because they've been grafted in, and God wants everybody to be a part of the family. Families are great. If you grew up in a functional family, you know what I'm talking about. And maybe if you didn't have a functional family, you still had friends, neighbors, or the body of Christ or the church that would just welcome you and spend time with you and guide you and just be there for you and be there with you. Family is incredible. And we're part of, yeah, a birth family, but we're also part of the family, the body of Christ, which extends, you've got family members, brothers and sisters you've never met, you know, millions of them right across the globe. You got other ones that have already run their course on earth and are now in heaven, and other ones that have yet to be born. And until Jesus comes again, you know, there's going to be more Christians yet. So you are part of a family. Even if you're part of a dysfunctional family here on earth, you are part of God's family, the perfect Father, and He cares for you. So we are accountable to one another. We are joined together. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. I love that. And we are part of that body then. As he writes in Romans, this is our two verses for today, just as each of us has one body with many members, yeah, we got all the different pieces and parts, and these members do not all have the same function, of course. You don't hear with your toes, right? You hear with your ears. They have to be different. They have to be diverse. They have to be. And these members do not all have the same function, yes. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Yeah, we form one body in Christ, the body of Christ. All having different parts, all having different functions, but working together to make it work. As we heard in the letter today to the Corinthians, if we were all the same part, of course it wouldn't work. Everybody's an ear, where would the foot be, etc. Alrighty. But what strikes me on this one here, each member belongs to all the others. There's a connection to fellow believers. Of course, we belong to God. And that, first and foremost, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, right, that we belong to God, that we are his children. If we receive and believe, for John 1:12, we receive and believe, we are given the right to become the children of God. But we have a responsibility to each other. And that's great. We get to be here for each other, for our brothers and sisters. If someone's going through tough times, come alongside them. If you're going through tough times, don't be afraid to ask for help. That's often tough. It's tough. It's easier to help someone than to ask for help, right? Yeah? Okay. Absolutely, 100% the same thing here as well. But if you see someone struggling, come alongside. All right? You can physically be there. Sometimes there aren't the right words, but you can just be there with them and be there for them. And let God be present through you. There's nothing like that human presence and God's presence through it even better. So let us be that closely knit together, not only as a congregation, but with other Christians out there as well. Yeah, we got a nice little unit here, a nice little family, but we're part of something bigger. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose track of that. All right, 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing a similar thing to Corinth. He also writes in Ephesians to the people of Ephesus about being the body of Christ and all having different functions and roles, and we'll get into those gifts next week. But today we heard that. Again, this sounds almost like what he wrote in Romans 12, except an expanded version. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, absolutely. And though the parts are many, they form one body, okay? So it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. We have this in common. Even though sometimes we may have very little else in common, we do have this in common. That's the common ground for everybody here, right? Some of us are into things like, you know, pheasant hunting. Others are into maybe football. Some are into, you know, crochet or quilt making. And we have all these different diverse talents and strengths and interests. But what do we all have in common? Christ. All of us here today and all of the other believers around the world, past, present, and future, are going to have that in common. One Spirit, right? We are one Spirit into one body, one family. Whether Jews or Greeks, doesn't matter, slave or free, it doesn't matter, male or female, whatever. We are given the one Spirit to drink. We have this in common. That's that common ground. I love it. And we all have different functions, all have different roles, all have different talents, different gifts. More on that next week. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. It's his design. His design. So are you going to play your part? Each of us has been given different roles, different gifts, different talents. Are we going to cooperate and do our part? We could say no thanks, of course, and I wouldn't recommend that, right? It's God's design. If he's given you this certain ability to serve, use it, right? To his glory, of course. Again, more of that next week. Boy, this just flows into it. It's yeah. Alrighty. As it is, there are many parts but one body. And this interdependence, once again, too. You think about within a human body. There's many different pieces and parts in there, you know, all kinds of different things. I'm not a biology teacher, but I know there's lots of different parts and pieces, okay? And they all have a role. And we all have a role, too. Sometimes you might feel like the appendix, okay? But you're not, okay? You have a purpose. God has given you a purpose. You have a role. You have strengths. You have gifts to use to his glory. And the interdependence of systems as well. You can have the circulatory system, and that's great, but without the respiratory system, is it of much use? Are you going to have any oxygen to circulate? Uh-uh. Or you can have the respiratory system bringing in all this oxygen, wonderful, but how is it going to get to all the different parts of the body, right? It has to go through the circulatory system. All these parts work together. It's a beautiful design. God has designed our bodies, and they're incredible. We're still learning more about it all the time. Researchers and doctors are learning more and more about how things work at a cellular level and a systemic level, and I'm more and more amazed. And that's true of any science. The more I learn in science, the more I am just in awe of the design. And if there's a design, there's a designer. And yeah, the way everything's designed from the universe to our bodies to microbes to whatever, it's incredible. And again, the interdependence. We are all intertwined, right? We're interdependent on each other. We again need to be there for each other. And it just wouldn't work if we weren't. All right. Again, sometimes you might feel like the appendix there, right? He says, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So even if you've got some role that doesn't seem to be all that great, don't worry about it. It's necessary. An example I heard one time, you know, you think about different jobs. You got ditch diggers. Are they just as valuable as a doctor or a lawyer? Absolutely. You got the garbage collectors. You know, they're not, it's not really skilled labor and maybe looked down upon. But just as valuable. There was a time years ago in Chicago where the garbage collectors went on strike. Garbage started piling up. After a week or 2 weeks, people started to realize how valuable that role was and how valuable that job was. It's essential. And everybody among us has an essential role to play. But if your job may not be glorious, but it's necessary. And you need to do it well. In researching this, I came across a speech given by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This was given in 1967 to a bunch of junior high students in Philadelphia. And he's talking about their future. And who knows what they're going to go on, what they're going to be at this age, but he's trying to inspire them. And it doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter what your role is in the body of Christ or in this life. You need to do it well. So here's the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 1967. Set out to do a good job, and do that job so well that the living, the dead, and the unborn couldn't do it any better. If it falls to your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera. And sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great sweep sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on top of the hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star, for it isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best of whatever you are. So even though our role may not seem all that glorious and all that essential, do it well, right? As Paul writes in Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Whatever you do, do it well and do it for God's glory, right? And the reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. This reminds us of Matthew 25, right? Whatever you did to the least of these, you did unto me. So in all things, work as if working for the Lord. We have many different functions even within those gathered here, right? We have people that run the finances. We have a financial secretary. That's his gift. He does a good job of it. We have people that clean the church here, doing a wonderful job. People that are blessed with the gift of music that bring that. Those that have the gift of speaking or of encouraging others or inviting others. We have so many people with so many gifts, and together we form that body. If people are missing, the mission will still go on. We might be handicapped, right? But can a handicapped person find a way to do things? Absolutely. God doesn't want us to be handicapped. He wants everybody to be here playing their role, doing their part, not only at Shalom, but in the church as a whole, the body of Christ. Okay. He brings up another thing here too later in this reading, so that there should be no division in the body, but that the parts should have equal concern for each other. All right, everybody doing their part. Not thinking you're better than anybody else because you have different gifts or different part. and no division in the body. Boy, that'd be great. You think of throughout history, you look at it. Someone's got a little different interpretation of one verse, and all of a sudden there's a schism, there's just a breaking off. But we form new denominations and things. Each one is a result of that, some sort of disagreement when you look at it. It's sort of interesting. One friend at a Bible study one time, he said, well, don't think of it as division, think of it as multiplication. We're having more ways to reach people. You know, there might be something to that. But let us be true in that as well. Let us stand for what's right. And if you're not sure what's right here in God's word, right? Shalom is formed from that. People taking a stand for what's right, following scripture instead of the ways of this world. And we're going to remain true to that. There is no doubt whatsoever. What God says will always be more important than what people think. Yes, we're going to love others. Absolutely, 100% love others. Invite them in. Be there for them. Be there with them. Do everything you can to help them. 100%. But we're not going to bow down to the ways of this world. So yeah, there will be division at times. That is, parts should have equal concern for each other is another cool part. Equal concern. That we're not more concerned about some people than others, right? We're equally concerned about everybody. We love everybody. It doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what their lifestyle is. Doesn't matter what their beliefs are. We are here to love them. We are here to serve them. We don't just seek the favor of those that are in higher authority. No, we're going to love everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. We're going to seek to reach everybody. And then that unity that results. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part honors with it, rejoices with it. We'll see that later in Romans 12 as well. We're going to have a whole Sunday on that. But yeah, rejoice with those who rejoice. Be happy for each other. And mourn with those who mourn. Be there for them in a genuine way. Again, God's presence through you. It's a beautiful thing. So this unity that results in this body. We're all part of one body. We have one spirit in common. We have this unity. And that was the big theme in the gospel today as well. When Jesus prays for people. And he's praying. He just got done praying for his disciples. This is his last week on earth here. And now he prays for all believers. My prayer is not for my disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me. Even 2,000 years later, that's us. He's praying for us. That all of them may be one, Father. Again, we may be one. Unity in the body of Christ. A great thing, a beautiful thing. Cooperation between denominations and congregations. When we do that day of faith, we bring youth together at Central Square. We got Catholic kids along with United Methodist kids, along with Lutheran kids, along. It doesn't matter. We're all part of the body of Christ, right? And it's a joy to see them worshiping together. The kids don't see the big divisions. They see the commonalities that we're here for Jesus. And absolutely, to see that and experience it, it's great. And that we do have that common ground, we have Jesus in common. Even though we might have some slightly different doctrines and beliefs, we're still Christians, we're still brothers and sisters. And we can gather together in that way. Church in the park, we did it on the Heritage Days as well. People from all kinds of different, you know, denominations, but Christians having Christ in common, coming together. It's a beautiful thing. That commonality, that unity, that results. And that's what Jesus is saying, that they may be one. And sometimes think, would it be nice just to have one Christian church and everybody's a part of it? You know, that's the way it started out. Look back in Acts. And then there's little disagreements here, little different interpretations there, and all of a sudden we have all these different flavors of ice cream. And that's where you get to find the flavor that you like. When we travel, I love going to different churches. And experiencing different types of worship. And some people like plain vanilla. I like a little extra sprinkles on mine. You know, some like chocolate or strawberry. There's different flavors of ice cream. There's different styles of worship. Find the one that works for you. Find where the Spirit is speaking to you, right? Or you walk in that place and you just, you feel it, you recognize it, And when the music starts and the speaking starts, and it's coming through to you. I mean, just you're hearing from God. That's the kind of place that I love to worship. Where it's just so real, and God is just so present. Yeah, I've been to other churches where, to me, it feels spiritually cold, unfortunately. And I don't feel that presence. Maybe it's just me, okay? I don't know. But when you feel that, it's alive in the Spirit, and you know it, it's great. But to have that unity, again, I'm sort of intrigued by that. And I love these cooperative events with other churches. You know, we cooperated just now with Minnewaskan Vacation Bible School. It's great. We've cooperated with Hope Community Church on a number of things. It's great. So anytime we have to do that, to get that chance to forge those connections within the body of Christ, it's a beautiful thing. Alrighty. So Jesus is one with the Father, and he seeks us to be a part of it too. I and them, you and me, may they be brought to complete unity. To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We can do so much more together. Individually, as a person, you can do so much. But if you're trying to nail this long board up, isn't it a whole lot easier to have someone help hold that end of the board up while you nail it or something like that? Absolutely. Raising a roof or something like that, you need a whole crew of people, right? Working together, we can do so much more. The same way with the body of Christ, working together, having that unity, having a common purpose to go there for and spread the message to all nations, to all peoples, and to be one. To be one. There's an old song that you probably sang around campfires and Luther League or youth group or wherever you came from that talks about this. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored, that there can be a coming together of God's people. We will walk with each other. We'll walk hand in hand. If you're hand in hand, you're beside each other, right? No one's ahead of someone else. You're not following, you're not leading, but you're walking hand in hand in unity beside each other. We'll walk with each other, we'll walk hand in hand, and together we'll spread the news that God is in our land, right? The Great Commission, go therefore, right? Not only will we walk with each other, we'll work with each other. We're going to build this kingdom together, folks. We're going to build this together. We'll work with each other, we'll work side by side. Again, that equality, right? Walking hand in hand, working side by side as equals. Work with each other, work side by side, and we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. We're going to be there for each other. We're going to be there for each other. Guarding each one's dignity and saving each one's pride. If someone's facing challenges, we're going to be there for them. If they're being bullied, we're going to step in. We're going to be there for them. And they're going to be there for us. That's the way it's supposed to work, right? Be there for others, and they'll be there for you in your time of need as well. We see that when someone suffers a loss, everybody bringing over a hot dish and stuff like that. That's great. But this is an everyday thing. As the body of Christ, to be there for each other, to be there with each other, to walk side by side, to work together, to get this done. And it's going to result in a coming together, a getting to know each other better and genuinely loving each other. And that's how they're going to know we're Christians, right? The refrain, and they will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. Just an old song, but with incredible depth, with incredible meaning. For us and for all time, to be that body of Christ. Now, some people are easier to work with than others. Absolutely, 100% agreed. But we have to seek to work together to avoid division. To seek unity, to be one as Jesus wants us to be one. To make allowances for each other's shortcomings. We all have them. My wife puts up with a lot, okay? We all have shortcomings. We make up for that. Allowances as much as possible. We cooperate. We seek to cooperate. We want to work together. We encourage each other. We lift each other up. We are there for each other. We are there with each other. So Lord, we ask that you would make us one. that we can truly be brothers and sisters in Christ, living as part of that same family, being there for each other, being there with each other, lifting each other up, walking side by side, working together for your glory, to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so take advantage of those opportunities when you see them, and they abound. Get to know your neighbors. Your neighbors, Methodist, if they're Catholic, I don't know, get to know them. Invite them over for Bible study sometime, or just speak of your faith. Spread it to others.